Morning Watch, Romans Week 3, Romans 9 through Romans 12, Monday, Related Verses, Romans 9, verses 4 through 8 and 11 through 16. Who are Israelites? Whose are the sonship and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and out of whom, as regards what is according to flesh, is a Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has fallen away, for not all who are out of Israel are Israel. Neither is it that because they are the seed of Abraham, they are all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are accounted as a seed. Verses 11 through 16. Though the children had not yet been born, nor had done anything good or bad, that the purpose of God according to selection might remain, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, "The greater shall serve the less." As it is written, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." What then shall we say? Is there unrighteousness with God? Absolutely not. For to Moses he says, "I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion." So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Related reading. We have covered Romans 1 through 8. We may consider chapters 9 through 11 as a parenthesis and chapter 12 as a continuation of chapter 8. In the sense of the life process or life practice, it is correct to say this. However, I do not think that in Paul's concept, these chapters were parenthetical. For in them are some elements which are a continuation between chapters 1 through 8 and 12 through 16. Therefore, these three chapters, in a sense, are a parenthesis, but in another sense, they form a continuation between Romans 8 and 12. God's selection is our destiny. Our eternal destiny has been fully established by God's selection. This selection and destiny are of the very God who calls, not of those who work. Our selection is absolutely of God who calls. In order to grasp this point, we need to read 9 verses 1 through 13. Verse 5 says, "Whose are the fathers, and out of whom, according to flesh, is a Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." The fathers were Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and others. Also, according to his human nature, Christ came out of the children of Israel. Paul says that Christ is overall God blessed forever. When Paul came to this point in his writing, he was so filled with the glorious person of Christ that he poured out what was in his heart. Christ is overall God blessed forever. Amen. We all have to be deeply impressed with and fully realize and appreciate the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ is the very God who is overall and blessed forever. Though he came out of the Jewish race and flesh, he is a very infinite God. Thus, Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, "Unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called the Mighty God." We praise him for his deity, and we worship him as a very God forever. Not, however, as though the word of God has come to naught, for not all are Israel who are out of Israel. In verse 3, Paul prayed out of his desire for his kinsmen to be saved. As he came to verse 6, he spoke of God's economy. In verse 3, he uttered a prayer out of his desperation, even willing to be a curse separated from Christ. In verse 6, he said, "Not all are Israel who are out of Israel." God's economy is that not all who are out of Israel, that is, all who are born of Israel, are the true Israel. All Jews have been born of Israel, but not all of them have been selected by God. All of them are of the Jewish religion, but not all are saved, even though outwardly they have all the good things, including Christ, promised by God and His holy word. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. In verses 6 and 7, Paul is in the light of God's economy and sees things clearly. Only that part of Abraham's seed, which is in Isaac, is called. Besides Isaac, Abraham had another son named Ishmael. Though Ishmael was born of Abraham, neither he nor his descendants, the Arabs, have been selected by God. They are the children of the flesh and cannot be reckoned as the children of God. Only Isaac and a part of his descendants are selected by God and reckoned as the children of God. Verse 8 continues, that is, those who are the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are reckoned as a seed. According to God's economy, it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise who are reckoned as a seed. Not all the seed of Abraham are the children of God. The natural birth is inadequate to make them children of God. They need to be born again. The phrase children of the promise denotes the second birth, for it is only by the second birth that they can be the children of the promise and thus be reckoned as a seed. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. When God says, I will, we should not argue with him. We are not God and we do not have his sovereignty. We may reason with him, asking, why do you love Jacob and hate Esau? God may reply, don't argue with me. I will to do it. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Everything depends on my will. What is the difference between mercy and compassion? It is difficult to distinguish. Although compassion is very close to mercy, I would say that compassion is deeper, finer, and richer than mercy. Putting compassion together with mercy in this verse strengthens the fact that God is merciful. So then it is not of the one who wills, nor of one who runs, but of God, the one who shows mercy. Mercy goes farther than grace. If when I am in a good condition and my standing matches yours, you give me a gift, that is grace. However, when I am in a poor condition and my standing is far removed from yours and you give me something, that is mercy. If I come to you as your dear friend and you give me a Bible as a gift, that is grace. However, if I am a poor, unclean beggar, unable to do anything for myself, and you give me $10, that is not grace, it is mercy. This mercy reaches farther than grace. Grace only extends to a situation that corresponds to it, but mercy goes much farther, reaching into a situation that is poor and unworthy of grace. According to our natural condition, we are far removed from God, totally unworthy of His grace. We are only eligible to receive His mercy. Thus, 9 verse 15 does not say, I will have grace on whom I will have grace. No, it says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. You may think that there was nothing good about Jacob, that he was altogether a subtle, crafty person, and that Esau was much better than he. You are right. That is how God has shown His mercy. Jacob was pitiful, but God had mercy on him. God's mercy does not depend upon man's good condition. Rather, it is shown in man's pitiful condition. It reaches beyond His grace. It is God's mercy that has reached all of us. None of us was in a condition that corresponded to His grace. We were so poor and so pitiful that there was the need for God's mercy to bridge the gap between us and God. It was God's mercy that brought us into His grace. How we need to realize this and worship God for His mercy. Even now, after being saved and having participated in the riches of His life, we still, in some ways, are in a condition that needs God's mercy to bridge the gap. This is the reason that Hebrews 4 verse 16 says that firstly we need to obtain mercy and then we can find grace for timely help. Oh, how much we need His mercy! We must treasure God's mercy as much as we appreciate His grace. It is always God's mercy that qualifies us to participate in His grace.